coming up.
What?
No!
If I might dare say, you poshed up your voice a bit.
It's a switch, Mark.
Show me what you've got.
I didn't realise how difficult this would be.
Blah, 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 true or false.
I love the visuals and the feel of real books, I must admit.
Well, as long as it's not truth or dare, we should be okay.
Did you hear the incredulity from us there?
Just say that.
Impress me, man, impress me.
Get it in time, kids.
You'll need at least 7 cans then, baby.
And now, enjoy the podcast.
How do you say that?
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 Hello and welcome to How Do You Say That, sponsored by BritishVoiceOver.co.uk. This is Mark Rice. He is my co-host.
I am. Hello. That's Sam Boffin, my co-host.
A little bit weird today, actually, in a minute. Anyway, welcome to our little world of voiceover-related fun.
Yeah, as always, alongside our intrepid special guest, we'll be looking at scripts, making some choices and discovering what we can do with our voices.
Because there isn't just one way to read a script. There are lots of different ways.
Uh-huh.
So, Mark,
yes.
My favourite TV chef, and I have a few,
okay.
Is Jamie Oliver. Is that true or false?
Oh, trying to think back about all the conversations we've had over the years about food now. I in my mind, I've got that you're a big fan of Rick Stein. So I'm going to say false, it's not Jamie.
Is Jamie.
Oh, it is Jamie.
Rick Stein, that's quite wild.
I don't know.
Where did
I
that
don't
come
know why.
From?
Don't know why that's in my head.
Rick Stein.
Hey, anyway. Well, as you know, this is my last recording before I go away on holiday. Mm-hmm. I mean, you people mm-hmm. at home won't realise that because it keeps on going. This trundle of, how do you say
trundle
that, keeps
of joy.
On going. But I'm actually going away for a fortnight. So my true or false is I've actually bought 7 cans of SPF 30 spray to take with me because it's cheaper here than it is over there.
Is this your naked holiday?
It is. Yeah.
Yes. So I well, you'll need at least 7 cans then, baby. I think yes. I think I'm calling it yes.
I have bought 7 cans, not because of that, though. Oh, dear. Well, of course, we also have our very special guest, voice actor Alan Irving. Hello, Alan. Sorry about that.
Hello,
welcome
Mark.
To How Do You Say That?
I'm stifling laughter.
Yeah, don't blame you. Absolutely. let's find out a little bit more about Alan, shall we?
Yes, let's. So, Alan is originally from Essex in the southeast of England, now lives in Rossendale in the northwest. So, he's been a voiceover artist and an audiobook narrator since 2012.
Well, he's worked in almost all genres, from character work, commercial, corporate, e-learning, IVR, Voice of God, and of course, audiobooks. He lives with his partner Kathy, daughter Hannah, his dog Willow, and cat Ruddles, or Rude Boy, as Alan likes to call him. He's also enjoying playing the guitar, likes to cook, and appreciates, in inverted commas, fine wines. Welcome to the podcast, Alan. Have you got a fun fact for us?
I do have a fun fact, actually. I was a guitarist in a heavy metal band for a few years.
Gosh, yes. Heavy metal. So how's your hearing?
Well, my hearing's... it's breaking up a bit. Sorry, hang on a minute. No, hang on. well, you know, I sometimes cringe when I say heavy metal because it conjures up sort of bullet belts and spiked wristbands and things, but
yeah.
It wasn't
was that,
that at all.
Oh, yeah, okay.
No, it was more kind of a dirgy, grungy, kind of a distorted kind of sound that, we hoped people liked. But
so where did you play?
There's a place called St. Albans in Hertfordshire, and there's a
great
venue there called The Horn. And yes. I think legendary bands like The Stones and The Who may have played there at various parts in their early careers. So to tread the same boards as those guys kind of meant something a little bit. But it was so much fun.
Well, with that thrash metal theory, let's look at the first script of our show, shall we, and ask, how do you say that?
How do you say that?
Okay, so this is a script I did really recently, actually. It's a long-form advert.
Oh, is it?
Yes, it wasn't squeezing into sort of 30 seconds of anything like that.
Sure.
It was a bit of a loose advert, if you see what I mean.
Don't read e-books, read real books.
Yeah, well, these are beautiful books.
I have to say, Sam and I are at the opposite end of this spectrum, Alan. I love e-books. And
do
Sam, you?
You
like real books, don't you?
Yes, I do. I love the... visuals and the feel of real books, I must admit. But
whereas I've completely switched off that now.
Well, I'm kind of old school myself. You know, I prefer the actual physical. I mean, you can even smell a book, can't you? Do you know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Okay, but, two against one. Fine, yeah. Fine.
But I've recently got an audio book to do that's coming up, and they've sent me the script, and I only have it on my phone, so I have to read it on my phone.
Oh,
so
interesting.
So it's as much as you can try and make it, you know, read friendly. You know, it's still not the same.
I've only ever done audiobooks as
off
e-books.
Screen.
Yeah, off a screen.
Interesting.
Even
of
to read
the books
them.
I have done, I've never read them first. One, because I like the surprise, and two,
no!
And two, I just don't have time.
How do you make the choices on the characters then?
I scan through. I find out who makes a regular appearance. There's lots of prep that goes in beforehand. You know, I search through, and I make sure I've got a really good dialogue with the author as well.
Right.
And then we're sort of back and forth discussing about how they want the sound, any ideas for characters, that kind of thing.
Did you hear the incredulity from us there?
I'm amazed.
So, Sam, in the script, mm-hmm. did they tell you anything else about where it was going out or what kind of character, what kind of voice they wanted?
It was a directed session. So, in fact, prior to that, I got the script. There were about five different scripts, actually. This is just one of them. And the various videos that went with them.
I've got J.R. Hartley. You know that advert in my head?
Oh my God.
The Yellow Pages, you know?
Going back a bit. But yes, I know what you mean.
Copy of fly fishing.
Totally. But I don't know whether that's the right... I think I might go down that route. Let's have a try.
Okay.
See if it will sell a few books. At Quarto, every book begins with obsession. Every page is designed, illustrated, and perfected to bring the stories you love to life in their most beautiful form. These aren't just books. They're stories that shaped you, reimagined and created by us to be held, read and reread, not to collect dust, but to be lived with and loved over and over again. Quarto. Books that live in your hands.
Very nice. Very smooth, and yet very kind of, it wants to draw you in, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm.
Yes, that was...
That's what I meant by my J.R. Hartley.
Much slower than you normally do, actually.
Yes, much
and,
slower,
and a,
yes.
A very different tone.
Mm-hmm.
You absolutely, you know, you lent into the warmth and the, you know, the sort of glorious, I don't know, gorgeousness of the books.
Mm.
I tried to be a little bit older. I tried to put myself in a slightly older mindset as well, as in slightly older people love books.
Yeah,
as we've already said, I'm more of an e-book fan.
A certain demograph kind of thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I get it.
Yeah, yeah. So what was the demographic you think is...
Slightly older than me.
Mm-hmm.
So not quite pensioners. Oh my God, I'm that old.
Uh-huh.
I'd buy it.
I mean, you're going to tell me that they wanted like Space Invaders. Well, I don't know what you're going to say. That was my assumption when I read the script.
Absolutely.
Anyway. So that's what I thought. Alan, did you have any assumptions when you looked at it first time?
Yeah, I'm... You know, like with most of these, there's obviously several different ways you can approach this, isn't there? But I've got an idea how this might go.
Okay.
Mm.
Good, good, good. Okay. I want to hear it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. At Quarto, every book begins with obsession. Every page is designed, illustrated, and perfected to bring the stories you love to life in their most beautiful form. These aren't just books, they're stories that shaped you, reimagined and created by us to be held, read, and reread. Not to collect dust, but to be lived with and loved over and over again. Quarto, books that live in your hands.
That was a much lighter read than I was expecting you to do, Alan, there, actually. And you lightened your voice as well. You, if I might dare say, you poshed up your voice a bit there.
It's a switch, Mark. I turn it on when the need arises.
And the need arose. I saw what you were doing. I quite liked it, yeah. I have to say.
There was a real
warmth, like a much lighter kind of, you know, put a smile on your face when you're not to collect dust. That kind of thing, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Mm. No, we saw the smile. I could see the smile, absolutely.
Absolutely. Ah. Was it the similar sort of demographic?
I think so.
I think so.
Maybe
absolutely.
Just a little bit less. I don't know. Maybe just aiming at a lower end, perhaps to try and, entice a younger generation.
Younger readers, No, I can see how that would work. I could quite happily think that I would hear that on the radio or on TV for Quarto without a shadow of a doubt. So you've made assumptions, Alan.
Yeah.
I've made assumptions. Sam, what assumptions did you go in with?
I went in with the same sort of assumptions.
And
that's not what they wanted.
It was one of those moments
where you think, okay, that's really interesting, because on the assumptions that I made, which were that this is aimed at a certain demographic, that what they're leaning into is the gorgeousness of this. And that is what I got as well from the videos that they sent me.
Okay.
And that there was a sort of, that they wanted this kind of gorgeous, warm, inviting, upmarket feel to this. And that's not, it turns out, exactly what they wanted.
So you thought they'd come to you for a specific kind of type of read that you do.
And they didn't want upmarket.
It's so difficult, isn't it? Because sometimes you look at this, and like you say, you have the assumptions and all that, and you go in, which is, why auditions are so important, I suppose.
Yeah, I just had to dial down a bit what I thought I was going to be doing. Does that make sense?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
So it was a more, sort of, they wanted it to be slightly lighter and more playful.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll do what I did. At Quarto, every book begins with obsession. Every page is designed, illustrated, and perfected to bring the stories you love to life in their most beautiful form. These aren't just books. They're stories that shaped you, reimagined and created by us to be held, read, and reread. Not to collect dust, but to be lived with and loved over and over again. Quarto. Books that live in your hands.
Beautiful. Very nice. Very soft, very delicate. Loved it.
For me, it got the whole vibe of the J.R. Hartley thing, but you're absolutely right. Mm. But by doing it much lighter, you took it to a completely different audience.
Yeah. What I realised was that it made it feel a little more contemporary.
Yes. Yeah.
And that was a really interesting thing to discover, actually.
For a generation that lives on screens.
It kind of conjures up images of perhaps sitting on like an autumnal evening with the fire on, sitting in the corner of a comfy sofa with a blanket over you, with one of these books and, just nice and peaceful and just getting lost in it kind of thing.
There was a lot of discussion about the last line as to where you put the emphasis.
Yes.
Books that live in your hands. Yeah. Books that live in your hands. Books that live in your hands. You can do so many different things. Yeah. Yeah. Of course, yeah.
How
exactly.
do you say that?
So, yeah, well, quite. It's exactly the premise of the show. Yes.
So, and of course, it was directed, so it was easy. So they just kind of got everything they wanted. Anyway, interesting.
How interesting. Yes. Well, it is worthwhile remembering that these are real scripts that we're working on. We've changed some names and some details to avoid copyright issues. And while we're on the subject of the scripts, you can find them both in the show notes of this episode, wherever you normally listen. Play How Do You Say That?
So, Alan, tell us a little bit about your script that you've brought along.
Yeah.
I've lifted this from an audiobook I did about a year or so ago, something like that. It was part of a trilogy.
Yep.
And it was a fantasy series. So it kind of, if you can imagine, Game of Thrones meets Lord of the Rings with a little sort of smattering of Harry Potter thrown in, that kind of thing.
Okay.
So it had all of those, if you can think, there's demons and monsters and heroes and villains and all that kind of stuff going on.
Now, I have to say, Alan, just a quick warning to our listeners, this is a very, very dark, unpleasant horror-type script.
Well, this was part of the happier ones that I took. So.
Blimey. Good Lord.
I think there's an image in this that
is particularly horrific.
Unsettling, actually.
So, yes.
And it's still a couple of weeks to Halloween. So.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, get it in time, kids.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. If we're talking about narrator voice, are we going down the route of how I would imagine someone would do A Christmas Carol from Dickens? Is it that kind of darkness? Is it what did you come up with?
What I always try and do is differentiate between the narrator voice and any kind of character voice, because
yeah,
it's
there
very
doesn't appear
to
be character within this segment.
Not this particular scene, but you know, and obviously it's lots to narrate as well. I think it was like a 20-hour yes. book or something. So you know, there was lots of work there. But so I just made sure that you know, I was comfortable with what I was doing.
Yeah.
And that it suited the story.
If I'm picked for an audiobook, by the time that happens, I don't get much direction at all from either the author or from the director, unless you're going completely off piste, because they have a very strong idea of what style of voice they want. But once
but they've
done that, because the idea of them minutely directing you through a 10-hour audiobook
is a nightmare
is a
for
horror,
them as well.
You know?
Yes.
So in fact, I don't know if you have, Alan, but I found they're actually reasonably hands-off, and they're usually quite delighted with what you can bring to it, and that's why they've chosen you.
Yeah, I mean, there's an element of trust there, isn't there?
Yeah.
You know, they pick you for your, you know, your expertise and your skill and the fact that you've hopefully done one or two of these things before. So, you know, there is, I've had quite a few authors that say, away you go. You know, show me what you got, kind of thing. So, and
show
others,
me what you've got.
Yeah,
impress me, man. Impress me.
Impress me. Exactly. I'd quite like to go first with this one.
I'm always happy.
I never volunteer, because I don't do audiobooks, as you know. It's a genre that I don't do within my career.
What I've always wanted to ask you is, do you not do them because it's bad pay?
Yes, bad pay. That's exactly what I do. You know that. I've said that before.
Yeah, I know. But does the concept of them, if they were well paid, would you?
I would absolutely do them. Yeah, I do long form other stuff. I just don't do audiobooks because it's not well paid.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Because
purely the filthy lucre.
Purely that. Okay.
I am going to try and remember the advice that I've picked up from all of the other audiobook narrators that we've had on the podcast.
Right.
Because I've pretty much got it wrong every single time because I don't do audiobooks. So let's see what you think.
Okay. Go for it.
He was just fading off to sleep when the ghost appeared. It looked over the edge from the ledge above. For the first time, the ghost revealed its face, and it was a face Armin had never seen before. It was an old man, with pale blistered skin and a long grey beard. Its eyelids were stitched together with thick, interlacing leather thongs pulled tightly together. Even with these terrible mutilations to his eyes, somehow he still watched Armin.
Ooh.
Very well done, but I felt it was slightly light than how the text. The text had more gravitas, I thought, than, you know, but it's still very well read. And yeah, kind of leaves you wanting more, doesn't it?
Yeah, there was a gentleness to that, actually. I do love the sound of your voice when you're doing those sort of more lyrical things, I suppose, more lyrical passages, which is what this is.
It was nice.
But I can see that for a book with a bit of, you know, sort of old-fashioned horror. At its heart, that might have been light.
Too light. Okay, yeah, no, that's a really good note on that. Absolutely. I'm not quite sure what I would do next as another take to actually try and darken that up off the top of my head. So I'm interested to hear what the two of you will do with it. I think I got the pace probably correct.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
pace was good.
Which is definitely something I've got wrong on pretty much every other audiobook sentence passage that I've tried.
Well, the thing about audiobooks, of course, that if you're paid by the hour, you want to talk slowly.
it's per finished hour, though, isn't it? That's the
thing.
Oh,
yeah.
I like the way you didn't insert yourself too much between the words.
No, again, I have listened to what other people have said. Yes.
I really like that. I wonder if for a book like this, do you play the drama, or are you underplaying stuff on the whole?
Oh, it's totally acting all the way.
Oh, so it's more. It's
so you
more
do
rather
play
than
it. Interesting.
Yeah. No, okay. I'm. You know, when I'm in the booth here, and there's fight scenes, you know, and there's people running.
Yep.
So you have to humanize everything.
Yeah.
You know, there's people getting injured. It's a swords and shields kind of thing. You know, and it's bow and arrows and all that kind of stuff. So.
But they're the character parts, really, aren't they? When this is very much this is the narrator talking.
Yeah,
as you said before, there's a difference between the two kinds of passage.
Yeah, and when it comes to like narrating, like the high paced or the fast paced parts,
yeah,
you can't kind of sit on your laurels and just kind of do that regular pace. You have to pick it up a bit because it's like music in a film, isn't it? When there's an action piece, the music gets faster and more dramatic and stuff. So you tend to, with regards to the narration, you tend to pick that up and work along with the scene.
So I've got to do it next. I'll give it a go.
Okay.
He was just fading off to sleep when the ghost appeared. It looked over the edge from the ledge above. For the first time, the ghost revealed its face, and it was a face Alman had never seen before. It was an old man with pale, blistered skin and a long grey beard. Its eyelids were stitched together with thick, interlacing leather thongs pulled tightly together. Even with these terrible mutilations to his eyes, somehow he still watched Alman.
Oh, you put a shiver up my spine with that. Absolutely. You were certainly more chilling than I was expecting. And I would have thought for this passage, that's absolutely right.
Do you know, it's all about, I mean, for me, when I do this kind of stuff, it's all about, and I think you've nailed it here, Sam, it's that dramatic pause.
Yeah, you know? OK.
It's when you sort of, you kind of just give a couple of seconds for that idea to register in people's minds. And then carry on.
Yep.
And then it kind of, you know, they can pause for a split second. They can get that image and then move on.
Are either of us anywhere near close than Alan, do you think?
You are pretty much there, I would say, to how I did it.
Okay.
It was just more gravitas, really. Oof. Do you remember I spoke earlier about the switch?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Turn it. Yeah. So lots, you know, that was kind of up. Full gain kind of thing when I did it. But then I had to do all the book like that as well. So
wow, that's exhausting, isn't it, though, if you're going to do it. So I'm fascinated to hear what you did.
Yes, please.
All right. Okay, here we go. He was just fading off to sleep when the ghost appeared. It looked over the edge from the ledge above. For the first time, the ghost revealed its face. And it was a face Almon had never seen before. It was an old man with pale, blistered skin and a long grey beard. Its eyelids were stitched together with thick, interlacing leather thongs pulled tightly together. Even with these terrible mutilations to his eyes, somehow he still watched Almon.
Ooh.
Yeah, lovely pacing.
Yeah, and there was a real rasp to your voice. You used that kind of, you know, you that it's almost a fry, but
yes,
it really
it is.
Worked
yes.
well in this.
I'm leaning on the previous chest infection for that.
always useful.
I tell you what I wasn't expecting to hear. There was a sing-songiness to it, Alan, that I wasn't expecting. And in face of it, Altman had never seen before. You were hitting certain words in specific kind of sing-songy ways that I wasn't expecting. It worked beautifully, but I was not expecting that.
Yeah, Almon had never seen before. Yeah, that kind of, yeah, I get it.
It almost pushes it. It's on the brink of too hard, but you just pull back in time.
Yeah, And I'm very conscious of that when I do these.
Yeah.
You know, because there's always been this fine line. I've been doing this for, you know, 13 years, whatever it is now. And, you know, I was told from a very early age, be careful not to fall into voiceover man.
Yeah. You know? Yes. Oh, no, I don't think you did that.
And there's a very fine line.
There is, and there can be, absolutely. Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm. Yes, we discuss that quite a lot on here, don't we? It's one of my fears as well.
And it's easily
I know exactly
done.
What you mean. Yeah.
But who knows where it might go next, Alan, because it's time for the wild card.
Uh-oh.
So I it wonder, is. could you pick one of the scripts for either Sam or myself and give us a new direction with it?
I thought that maybe we could do one of these scripts in the style that you've just seen your friend's new month-old baby, and you're talking to the baby.
Okay. So you've just been introduced to a tiny baby.
Perhaps you're walking down the street and you see a friend, young friend, and she's just, you know, had a baby a month or so ago, and you met her for the first time, you met the baby for the first time, and you're cooing all over it.
Okay. So
and who would you like to do that?
let's have you, Mark. And
and which of the scripts?
That's right. If we're going to be nice and cooey, we've got to go for the dark script, haven't we? Let's go script
that's
number
more,
two.
Okay. Ooh, actually, yeah, okay. That's more challenging, I think.
Ooh, yeah, all right. Oh, he was just fading off to sleep when the ghost appeared. Oh, it looked over the edge from the ledge above. Oh, look. For the first time. This baby is ugly. The ghost revealed its face. Oh, it looks like Winston Churchill. It was a face Armin had never seen before. Oh, it was an old man with a beautiful, pale, blistered skin and a long grey beard. How long can I keep this up? Its eyelids were stitched together, thick interlacing thongs, all pulled tightly together. Oh, even those terrible, oh, terrible mutilations. Yeah, and the rest. Somehow, he still watched Armin.
The brief, Mark Rice, was not, we want an inner and an outer thought.
Brilliant. Well, I thought I would give you an inner monologue of this ugly child as well.
Oh, poor baby.
Awesome.
Poor baby.
Oh, you scarred it for life.
Oh.
It wasn't hearing what I really thought. Obviously.
No, it wasn't. I hope not.
Brilliant.
Right, I've got one for you, Alan. I'd like you to be a barber. Oh. Who is shaving the guy in his in his chair? I mean, I don't do barbering, obviously, so I've no idea what happens in a chair.
It was last time you had a shave, Sam.
Last time I had a shave, that was what they did.
Hot towels, always go to the hot towels. Yes. Ooh, that's not easy. Which script are you going to give
always
in for
popping
that one,
in,
Sam?
Oh yes, I would like you to do. Oh, I don't. I think that's quite. Yeah, you're right. I would like you to do the first script.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. So, at Quarto, every book begins with obsession. Just turn your head to the side, mate. Thank you very much. Cheers. So, every page is designed, illustrated and perfected to bring the stories you love to life in their most beautiful form. So, anyway, you going away this year at all? These aren't just books. They're stories that shaped you. Reimagined and created by us to help. Anyway, there's a geezer coming here last week. He said they're to be read and reread. I don't know what he's talking about. Anyway, not to collect us. Just move your chin back a bit. That's it, mate. Lovely. Cheers, Tom. Anyway, but to be lived with and loved. You know what I mean? Over and over again, so they say. So anyway, Quarto, apparently. Books that apparently live in your hands. I don't know what he's going on about. Anyway, just move your head to the side, mate. Cheers.
He was a chatty old barber, that one, wasn't he? No, I absolutely
do. I love the little phrases.
Yeah, you placed him in the chair beautifully. I thought that was really nice.
Yeah, and a lot of movements in that. You know, as you, I could really see you moving him around or getting him to move himself around. I thought that was lovely.
Yeah.
And lovely little asides.
I've spent a lot of time in East London growing up as a kid as well. Yeah. So between that and Essex, so, you know, kind of a Mockney, really, I suppose.
But such a covetable character and accent. I mean, that was lovely. I really enjoyed that.
Aww.
So then, Miss Samantha Boffin,
yes,
I'm staying with books for you. And I would like you to be a librarian who's a little bit haughty and insists on shushing people all the time, even though they're not making any noise. But she is mean.
But these are both books. Which one do you want?
I mean the one about books. Yes. So your script.
So the first script. Okay. So I'm a haughty librarian.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. Psst. At Quarto, every book begins with obsession. Oh, every page is designed, illustrated, and perfected to bring the stories you love to life in their most beautiful form. These aren't just books. No. Well, they're stories that shaped you and reimagined and created by us to be held, read, and reread. No. Not to collect dust. But to be lived with and loved over and over again. Quarto. Books that live in your hands.
Oh, very good.
She was quite mean. I was getting a touch of the Linda Snell from The Archers there. Just a little bit.
Were
you? So you're pushing those big sort of Deirdre Barlow glasses up to you as well.
Yes. Oh, maybe. Yeah. Yes.
I modelled her on a librarian that used to shush my sister and I when we were little, when we were in the library. So she was bad tempered. And usually librarians are lovely now. They don't do all that shushing.
No, they don't. No. It's very much old-fashioned libraries. Fantastic, fantastic. Well, as always, we've put the scripts in the show notes. You can have a try yourself at home.
Yes, indeed you can. Now, Alan, I am intrigued by your audiobook prowess. Do you have a favourite kind of audiobook that you like to narrate? A favourite style and why?
One that I can do very quickly.
You're talking Mark's language.
Indeed. Well, as fun as the fantasy roles are, the thrillers, the horrors, and all that kind of stuff, the character work, they are fun to do. But it's the non-fiction ones where you're just you're just talking and describing something. Mm-hmm. They're relatively easy because it's just you and your voice, isn't it? So you're just talking, and as long as you're making it believable and it's engaging because you don't want, again, there's that fine line, you don't want to send people to sleep. All the while I'm recording it, so I make it believable, engaging, all that kind of stuff. Don't make it boring.
Yes. But that's why I think that, non-fiction books are equally challenging, but in a different way than fiction books in many ways, because I've certainly recorded books that I don't necessarily believe in, but I've convinced myself for the duration of time that I have to narrate them that I absolutely do.
Yeah.
I can sort of kid myself.
No, you have to. I mean, it's part of the job, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Like you say, I've done books before that I don't a religion that I don't adhere to, and I suppose you might call me an atheist, I guess, but at the same time I've recorded Christian books and I've recorded books on Hinduism and Buddhism and all this kind of stuff, especially with regards to this the spiritual ones that I've done, and it mixes all of those as well, and Eastern philosophies and all this Western mysteries and stuff, and you have to make it believable.
There's a very different kind of audiobook coming through now, which is like full cast recordings, like full radio dramas within audiobooks. Have you done any of that? What's your thoughts about that style?
I've not collaborated. I think I may have done a book before where there's been a female narrator as well. I've kind of done my part.
But only two voices. So not the kind of full production style.
No, I have done books before where I've put music and effects in.
Oh, wow.
That kind of thing. That's a lot of time painstaking
sort of production time.
Absolutely. Quite unusual for a solo one. Actually,
yes.
I mean, I've listened to a number of audiobooks that have got multicasts, and they are more like a audio drama. Although they are simpler than an audio drama, there is a simplicity about them which does put them firmly in the audiobook category.
Is there anything on your audiobook bucket list that you would like to do, or a particular author you'd like to work with? in the future?
Mm. I don't know. I think probably nailing one of these, you know, these big kind of John Grisham type things or something like that. That'd
right.
be fantastic,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
wouldn't it? You know, or one of the Lee Child books or something. That would be great.
Sure,
but
sure.
Yeah. But and I've read a few of those as well, and I find them, you know, they're just brilliant. They're great. And, you know, the Harlan Coben ones as well. Great author.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and they've gone on to, you know, they make the TV dramas from them as well. So,
yeah. Ooh, it's amazing stuff to aspire to.
Oh,
that's
I know.
Nice.
I know. Yeah. But, you know, I'm happy with doing what I'm doing. And as long as I can provide a service, then it's all good.
Oh, Alan, thank you so much for coming on the show. I hope you've enjoyed it.
Oh, it's been awesome. Thank you so much for having me. Loved it.
All of Alan Irving's details can be found in the show notes of the episode.
And of course, the scripts are there too. And do hit the follow button on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and leave a review for us on Apple Podcasts.
Indeed. Well, that's it for this week. Thanks again to Alan Irving. And we'll be back next week with more scripts and another voiceover guest where we'll be asking, and you know, Alan, this is where we do it all together, in whatever style that you want. We'll be asking,
how do you say that? How do you say that?